The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Morning glory, America. Bonjour, hi, Canada, to you. Fleeing back to the Beltway today, finishing my week of vacation. I was at the Nixon Library yesterday with Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. You may have seen that in the news, major speech. That's why I took the week off that I did, all planned around that. And Colonel Kurt Schlichter has been filling in all week. Many thanks, Kurt. I'll have forgotten what you've done for me by Monday and be asking what you've done for me lately. But you know, you really ought to use today to promote your brand new book, The 21 Biggest Lies About Donald Trump and You. Thank you, Kurt, and take it away.
Thank you, Hugh Hewitt. I am Kurt Schlichter, senior columnist at townhall.com. Read me every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and check out yesterday's column. Enough whining about Donald Trump's mean tweets. I'm also a noted Los Angeles trial lawyer. I'm a retired United States Army colonel. I am the author of this book. If you're watching us on the universe, and you need to be watching us on the universe, universe, is that a silent H, or do you go all out with a... I don't know, but you know where you need to be. You need to be watching the universe, and you need to be getting my book, The 21 Biggest Lies About Donald Trump and You. It will change your life for the better. Let's get to the rundown. There's some news. Not huge news, not crazy news. I don't know why. Every time I guest here on the Hugh Hewitt radio program, every time I take my seat in the Relief Factor studio, it seems like chaos explodes. But today we're keeping the vibe like this. It's kind of mellow. There's a little bit of stuff going on. We have Donald Trump canceling the Republican convention in Jacksonville. Remember, they were going to do it in one of those Carolina, I think North Carolina, Charlotte. And then that went south. And then they went south. They went south to Jacksonville. And they were going to kind of have the party part of it there. And, you know, with this whole virus thing, that just wasn't going to work. And Donald Trump got presented options about doing it. And, well, he declined. Cut number seven, please.
With what's happened recently, the flare-up in Florida, to have a big convention, it's not the right time. It's really something that, for me, I have to protect the American people. That's what I've always done. That's what I always will do. That's what I'm about. They said, sir, we can make this work very easily. We have great enthusiasm, incredible enthusiasm. Even the polls say about the most enthusiasm they've seen. We can do this safely and we can do it responsibly. And I said, there's nothing more important in our country than keeping our people safe, whether that's from the China virus or the radical left mob that you see in Portland.
Did you see what he did there? Did you see what President Donald Trump did there? Now, look, like I said, I'm a retired United States Army colonel. I am a graduate of the United States Army War College, where I pledged Delta House. What's the strategy here? Is this Trump giving up? No. This is a smart and savvy move. First of all, did you hear what he said? Protecting. I will protect the American people. I will protect, protect, protect. You're going to be hearing a lot about how Donald Trump is positioning himself as the protector of the American people through this election. You're going to hear a lot about that. Second, you know that no matter what happens in Jacksonville, the mainstream media is going to portray it as a disaster. There's not enough people. People are getting sick. People are dying. Even the hookers are in flux. It's a terrible disaster of disastrousness. It's just the idea is to showcase the candidate, and all these people would have done is whine. Donald Trump understands the media better than anyone else. He's lived in the spotlight for going on 40 years. He knew in his gut this would have gone down the rabbit hole We'd have been chasing our tail. It wouldn't have, you know, when that creepy old guy, I like to call him Old Finger, when Old Finger leaves his basement lair where he strokes Squeaky, his pet squirrel, like Ernst Stavros Biden, when he finally leaves it and goes to a different studio to do his convention, you know, it's going to be the second coming. It's going to be, you know, Moses parting the waters. It's going to be, you know, Cyrus from the Warriors. Can you dig it? When Trump gets down there, it's going to be the nightmare. It's going to be Heaven's Gate. There's a reference for old people. Heaven's Gate. Ishtar. It's going to be a disaster. So he understood. He's avoiding that. Here's the other thing. Those conventions cost zillions of dollars. That's like $30 million. $30 million that can be targeted to win voters in key battleground states where, if you believe the polls, Trump is trailing. Do I believe the polls? I don't think we're ahead. And I don't quite believe the polls, but I do think we have a fight on our hands. Did they have a fight in Portland last night? No, they did not. They had a bunch of people got out there and protested. And then, of course, the moms to protect the rioters from those cops who are, you know, daring to not let people burn down the federal courthouse. I love that. They're like linking arms. And, you know, Andy Ngo, who was a guest here. And some other people were kind of observing, you know, do these moms actually identify as moms, as female, or is that just a thing? I love how the media is suckered in by it. Oh, the moms are protecting these innocent rioters from the evil depredations of the camouflage secret policemen who are unidentified except for the patches that identify them. And shut up. Good God. So Portland's. You know, Portland's a little calmer than usual. In Chicago, and Chicago is actually a Choctaw Indian word for shooting gallery run by liberals, which not a lot of people know. But that's I learned that from Elizabeth Warren. And, you know, when she talks Native American, I listen. Okay. After Lori Lightfoot, who, you know, she freaks me out. But Lori Lightfoot said, I'm not going to let federal troops invade Chicago and terrorize our people, which, of course, terrorize Chicagoans is like completely redundant. She gets on a phone with Trump and accepts some level of federal support, you know, because people are killing each other left and right in her hellish nightmare town. And people got really mad. So they went and marched around her house. They marched around her house and she tried to buy them off by removing the statue of Christopher Columbus, where the cops had been in a shameful fight where they're not allowed to fight back. You know, give me some 68 Chicago cops. Right. Remember in 68, they went out there and they clocked a bunch of hippies. That's what we need. We need some cops going, no, you don't get to attack us. You attack us, then you are sad. I don't think that's unreasonable. But in any case, she decided to try and sacrifice Christopher Columbus to the mob, which will totally work because, you know, if you appease a bunch of thugs, that always, always works. But the big news, our own Mike Pompeo with our own Hugh Hewitt, out at the Nixon Center yesterday, Pompeo did what needed to be done. He identified America's strategic enemy. Can we get cut number one, please?
Next year marks half a century since Dr. Kissinger's secret mission to China, and the 50th anniversary of President Nixon's trip isn't too far away in 2022. You know, the world was much different then. We imagined engagement with China would produce a future with bright promise of comity and cooperation. But today we're all still wearing masks and watching the pandemic's body count rise because the CCP failed in its promises to the world. We're reading every morning new headlines of repression in Hong Kong and in Xinjiang. We're seeing staggering statistics of Chinese trade abuses that cost American jobs and strike enormous blows to the economies all across America, including here in Southern California. And we're watching a Chinese military that grows stronger and stronger and indeed more menacing. I'll echo the questions ringing in the hearts and minds of Americans from here in California to my home state of Kansas and beyond. What do the American people have to show now, 50 years on, from engagement with China? Did the theories of our leaders that proposed a Chinese evolution towards freedom and democracy prove to be true? Is this China's definition of a win-win situation? And indeed, centrally, from Secretary of State's perspective, is America safer? Do we have a greater likelihood of peace for ourselves and peace for the generations which will follow us? Look, we have to admit a hard truth. We must admit a hard truth that should guide us in the years and decades to come. That if we want to have a free 21st century and not the Chinese century of which Xi Jinping dreams,
then we have to stand up against China. Mike Pompeo, this was huge. We're going to be talking about a lot because this is transcendent. This is an important step in American history. Mark your calendar. I'm Kurt Schlichter, singing in for the great Hugh Hewitt. We'll be right back.
President Trump has a huge announcement for his top supporters. We will be celebrating the 2020 Republican National Convention this summer. He wants you to enter for your chance to join him at the convention. If you win, the team will cover the flight, hotel, and give you VIP passes for yourself and a guest. All you have to do is text Hewitt to 88022 today for your chance to meet President Trump at the convention. Again, that's H-E-W-I-T-T-2, 88022, 88022, to enter to win this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to be his special guest. Paid for by the Donald J. Trump for President, Inc. When you know the rules, so easy. All you have to do is fall in love. Play the game. Everybody play the game.
We're back. Back on the Hugh Hewitt radio program. I'm guest host Kurt Schlichter, author of The 21 Biggest Lies About Donald Trump and You. But that's not the only book on the shelves of the Hugh Hewitt Library. From number one New York Times bestselling author Brad Thor comes his gripping new thriller, Near Dark. They say you can't put a price on freedom, but a bounty has been placed on the head of America's top spy. Now he must unravel the enemy's deadly plot before darkness prevails. Near Dark by Brad Thor. Never push a man with nothing to lose. We're going to be talking a lot more about China and Mike Pompeo as we go on. But right now, I want to talk to you about something very important. It's the campaign from our friends at Job Creators Network Foundation. They've partnered with doctors across the country to give Americans the facts about living with coronavirus. That includes presenting the facts about reopening our nation's schools and doing it safely. Look, the facts aren't in dispute. On July 14th, the fatality rate for people under the age of 20 who contracted the virus was 0.1%, more than 100 times smaller than Americans over 60. Indeed, the American Academy of Pediatrics, which represents 67,000 pediatricians from all across the country, released a statement strongly urging that any policy should start with a goal of having students physically present in school. Hallelujah. They encouraged public officials to consider the overall well-being of children and said all the negative effects of mandated remote learning, like social isolation, depression, physical abuse, food insecurity, lack of physical activity, and ineffective learning. In short, the impact of not returning to school poses much greater risk to our kids than returning to school. To learn more, go to flattenthefear.com because data matters. And the fact is that large portions of the population can and should get back to living their lives without fear. That's especially true for our nation's children. Go to flattenthefear.com right now. And speaking of coronavirus, the pangolin pandemic panic, Dr. Fauci demonstrated the same kind of he demonstrated exactly what we would expect after 6 months of this guy. He gets out at the Nationals game. This is a baseball game. I had to be told it was baseball because I'm not a sportsy guy. And he gets on the mound and he throws the ball and He throwed poorly, to quote the knight in Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. He throwed poorly. You are a baseball, see, I actually use the name baseball instead of sports ball, baseball guy, producer Dwayne. How would you assess Dr. Fauci's opening day throw?
I would assess it pretty much this way.
Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed.
Just a bit outside.
Just a bit outside.
I think it landed in Maryland.
In football we would say it was wide left. It was pretty bad. It was almost John Kerry bad. Almost John Kerry bad.
Is he legendarily bad?
Oh God!
I'm unaware of these sports things.
Yes, it's 60 feet away from hitting, you know, the mound to home plate.
That's a fair distance.
It's a fair distance.
See, I think the problem was, and I watched it, I was fascinated by it. It wasn't that he didn't get it 60 feet. It's got 60 feet in different directions. It was like an isosceles triangle.
Exactly. There was geometry involved in how
Archimedes is going, no, stop! Except he's saying it in Greek. Oh, he's also dead. Roman killed him, by the way.
It was really
Syracuse.
I have never been so depressed on an opening day of baseball. I have never been this depressed.
Why were you so depressed? Because you're a sportsy guy.
I'm a baseball guy. I'm very much a sportsy guy. The problem with what happened was all the players knelt for the national anthem.
Ah!
That's fine. But now I'm watching the Dodgers and the Giants play locally. I turn it on for 4 minutes.
Okay.
It's on ESPN.
4 minutes.
First of all, you're looking at the shot and you see paper fans in the stands, which just looks stupid.
That's weird.
They come back from a break and they hold an interview with the Giants manager, fawning over him about how great the kneeling was. And I just clicked. I couldn't take it anymore. I couldn't take it. I just turned it off.
That's sad, because you really love baseball.
I do. I did.
So do a lot of people.
I did.
You did. Bam. Hey, good job, Major League Baseball. Way to go. I'm Kurt Schlichter, guest hosting for the great Hugh Hewitt. We got Liz Schild coming up. There's going to be some fireworks. Stick around. That classic punky hit by the Runaways tells you that A, Kurt Schlichter is guest hosting for the great Hugh Hewitt, and B, we're joined by my personal friend, Liz Schild, senior news editor of America Greatness. Follow her at Star Chambermaid on the Twitters. Liz, are you angry and riled up today?
I am. I was just watching all of the footage from last night's riots in Portland, and I always get excited when I watch this stuff.
Now, I'm not saying I think it's great when the cops unload on these anarchist scumbags. I'm not saying that at all, or am I?
Yeah, it is cathartic in a lot of ways, but it's also really horrifying that there's thousands of people in the streets and they think they can throw incendiary devices and explosive devices at a federal building and that nothing's going to happen to them. I have to just take a step back and wonder what kind of people think that they can get away with this. But it's people that have been getting away with it.
And they're getting away with it because Democrat mayors, supported by Democrat DAs, fly top cover so that they have these relatively small things. There's maybe 2,000 of them out yesterday. It's a country of 330 million. And 2,000 people, and all the cameras are watching, and it gives the impression that America's in chaos. I look around. I'm here at the beautiful Relief Factor studio in sunny Southern California. I see no chaos.
Yeah, that's part of the whole operation, is to make people think that the entire country is, you know, turning against the Trump federal government, not the federal government, just the Trump part of that federal government, or the part that they identify with him. But it isn't. It's not like that in my neighborhood, and I'm in a D.C. suburb. So, but we're all locked down because the virus is going to kill us unless we're protesting for social justice.
And I know if you kneel, it confers immunity.
Isn't it amazing?
Which I didn't know about.
Virus. Like, can you imagine how smart the virus is to know, like, to infect the people who don't want to shut down but pass over? Much like my people and my religion pass over, like it just passes over, you know, the social justice people. It's a miracle.
Well,
and also it's not, and not school children, obviously infect school children, highly contagious and deadly, can't go to school.
Well, it's a woke yeah. T-cell thing. I think it's really interesting that about 2,000 Pierce tatted up anarchist scumbags can gather together in close quarters in Portland, but God forbid you sing Amazing Grace with your congregants in a church.
Well, when are we going to see the follow-up stories, right? Like, there are all, I'm sure that
Never.
People try to do the follow-up stories, like, because according to the media, everyone in South Dakota should be dead, right? Because remember, Trump went on the 4th, he went and
yes.
he was at Mount Rushmore, and we were told everyone's going to die because he didn't force had an event. Where are the follow-up stories showing me all the dead people and infected people from this event? Well, we didn't see it. But we didn't see it from all of the New York Black Lives Matters, the D.C. Black Lives Matters, Minnesota, any of that. We didn't get any stories about that. Now, who knows? Maybe nothing happened. Maybe a lot happened. But I can assure you that if something happened at one of the they tried to write it about the Michigan protests.
Oh, yeah.
When the people went to the
Spring
courthouse.
Breakers.
Yeah, where are
they? They're a petri dish.
Exactly.
Well, if you're not getting sick, if we can have mass protests and people aren't getting sick, isn't that good news? But then again, you know,
There's no good news, Kurt. Take it back.
Yeah, I know. I'm not sure we can. I'm not,
not
sure
allowed.
We can really trust our scientists. I mean, I thought Dr. Fauci's throw pretty much summed up the job the CDC's been doing.
I did not watch. I did watch the video of his throw just for like personal pleasure. But I did not watch the game. I'm not going to watch any sports. I didn't really watch much anyway. But now I'm for sure not going to watch it. I encourage everybody not to participate in this little social justice expression. Now we can't have anything. You know, that is free from some political statement. But I did see the throw. You know, his advisors did not do well for him when they let him do this. He should not have gone out and done that. He can't throw a ball. He knows he can't. Now he's a meme. You know, now he's going to be a meme.
Well, we can.
And it's a metaphor. It's a metaphor.
It really is.
The things he's done.
And it perfectly sums things up. But this whole thing is building, you know, with the mainstream media and the establishment and the Democrat Party, to the extent those three things are not, you know, sitting on top of each other and coextensive on the Venn diagram of American life. They're obviously trying to demoralize people, keep them from voting, cut into Donald Trump's support. Do you think it's working?
I do. However, it hasn't been going on long enough. Like, let's see, because it's going to have to keep getting ratcheted up for people to stay paying attention, and at some point people are going to get tragedy fatigue. They're just going to get sick of hearing about how horrible it is. At the same time as the left, you know, right now they're throwing Molotov cocktails. Somebody's going to set off something worse. Something worse is going to happen. It's going to have to keep getting worse to keep getting attention. So, and I think when that starts to happen, because, you know, there's over 100 days until the campaign, and this is just really about the campaign. The virus will be cured the day after Joe Biden wins.
Yeah,
Joe Biden
November 4th is going to, lot of problems are just going to disappear.
It's all just going to go away. News is going to be very different.
Yeah, especially if Oldfinger wins.
Exactly. So I think it might be alarming people, but I also think that it's going to get, it has to ratchet up. It's going to, people are so invested in public safety. And at the moment, other people start feeling threatened and that they're worried about public safety, these mayors and these governors that are just letting this tantrum go on. I think it's going to backfire. So
Well, Liz Scheld, senior news editor at American Greatness, here's here's the question on that. And I've done a lot of media because I've been out selling my book, The 21 Biggest Lies About Donald Trump and You. The greatest book following the Bible, the works of Shakespeare, and 50 Shades
available
of Grey.
Available on Amazon.
Then comes, go to Amazon and get my book. But I've done a lot of media, and I ask this question of the hosts who have their finger on the pulse of their listeners. I know a lot of people who did not vote for Trump last time who are saying, I've got to because this basement-dwelling weirdo is going to destroy our country.
Yes.
But I know zero people personally. I've heard tell, I've heard legends of them out there. But I know zero people personally who say, well, I voted for Donald Trump last time. I'm deeply unsatisfied with him keeping us out of stupid wars, confronting China and the pre-pangolin pandemic panic economy. I'm voting for the gropey pervert who lives in a basement this time.
Yeah.
I know zero. Do you know anyone who has gone from Trump to Biden?
No, I don't. And what I do know is people who were reluctant Trump supporters become passionate Trump supporters. I've only seen the momentum in one direction. And that's and I think the media is like bad news daily, stream of bad news, and Biden's beating Trump by 50 points and all that. All it's doing is just really invigorating the base to get even more passionate. I mean, before the virus, people were like, oh, Trump's going to win. Look at the economy. And now they think, oh, wait, maybe he won't win. I need to get even more invested. So I have to agree with you. I do not know people who are like, yeah, let's go with Biden because the Obama years were so fantastic. I mean, seriously, what are you going to get in a Biden administration? Will Comey be back at the FBI? Will we get more John Brennan? I mean,
John Holder, AG.
Eric Holder, whatever.
Or
yeah,
Eric Holder, yeah.
Is that we're going to get? Like, are we going to get
Holder?
Get that? I have to agree with you. I don't know anybody who's like, I was even a marginal Trump supporter, and now I'm at Biden. I just don't see it.
Yeah, the only ones are the cruise ship Ahoy crowd, and no one listens to them.
But they were always there.
Yeah.
Right? They were always there.
Yeah,
they,
Ahoy.
Ten of them. Okay, fine.
Ahoy. The thing is, Trump is obviously, and if you heard him talking about canceling the convention, which I think was a good idea, because that could have been nothing but a disaster, and he saved money, and I think it was good. But he was talking about it in terms of protecting you from the virus, protecting you. And I think that's the theme. Now, what's the theme for Oldfinger? I mean, really, what is the justification for getting this creepy old dude to be president finally after his 15th time trying? What's he promising that's going to help us? He just doesn't have, there's just no justification other than, well, we should be back in charge because we're the smart people.
Well, his promise is that he's not Trump. Right. That's all he
has. Well, that's sure true.
He gave an interview a couple days ago where he was kind of mumbling, trying to spit out like what things he would do, you know, about the virus. And he listed these things and it's like, OK, well, Trump already did all those. So, you know, it's just like he doesn't have anything. He just has a lot of kind of bumper sticker ideas. Oh, we need to help the country. Just things like that.
I want to do things to make things better.
We need to make it better. The problem is that the media will not push him on it, right? They're going to give him a pass.
Is he going to debate?
Gonna say, I want to give everybody a chocolate cake and a pony. And they're like, that's great, Joe. And they're just going to let it go. Whereas if it were Trump, you know, there'd be like 100 harpies like picking at his skin. It's not treated the same way.
Him. Look, is he going to debate?
Oh, that's a tough one. See, I don't know if he's, I don't see how they're going to let him debate, because when he does talk, even for those 45 seconds he's allowed to appear in media, he doesn't come off like strong and capable. Those are things that people want to see in a president. He seems confused. And they people say, oh, well, you're making fun of him because he stutters. No, that's not stuttering.
No, like, that's senility.
That is
it's a different word with an S.
Cannot express concepts clearly. Those are not the same thing. So I don't see how they're going to let him debate, but at the same time, I don't see how Biden can get out of a debate.
Well, I know what the explanation's going to be.
It's going to be the virus.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be partly virus. It's also going to be, I don't want to normalize the racist, sexist, normative, patriarchal colonialization by Donald Trump. And the mainstream media will go, oh, yeah.
But, you know, there's a cost to that. You know, that's going to fly with, like, the hard left or the hardcore never Trumpers, but the elections are never won with those people. They're won with the in the middle, the people that aren't super politically engaged. And that just looks real suspicious. You know, I mean, Trump's the president. It's a real campaign. If you are the better person, why won't you go out there and show it? And look, the virus, they can put them in hyperbaric chambers, you know, to make it safe.
Or keep them in a basement. Hey, thank you, Liz Schild. Senior editor at American Greatness, I'm Kurt Schlichter. This is the Hugh Hewitt Radio Program. Stick around. We got much, much more. And, of course, one of my favorite jobs here when guest hosting on the Hugh Hewitt Radio Program is to welcome friend of the show, Tarzana Joe, and his verse. Tarzana Joe, how are you doing today?
Great. Your favorite job is not talking Angel baseball with Dwayne?
I don't do sports.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure. Look, I'm not sure Dwayne or anyone else is going to do sports after the shameful performance these guys are putting on. Is that the topic of today's sonnet?
No, not at all.
Oh, well.
Let's get to it.
Let's get right to it.
California's sunny, but the rents are way too high. I need to make some money, so it's time to say bye-bye. My wife says we should look into some leisure or resort land, but all things being equal, I think we'll move to Portland. Portland is progressive and a welcoming community. I heard on CNN that it's ablaze with opportunity. It has a lot of culture, while L.A. ain't got any. I can go to their museum and see the Portland penny. I grew up on mean New York streets. The Portland streets are meaner, and they grow the finest roses their side of Pasadena. It's a green oasis and diverse as it can be. Well, one thing they don't have there is anyone who thinks like me. Now, can I make a living? I think the way that I would was get myself a franchise for plexiglass and plywood. Opening a business is not an easy ride, so I think I'm going to have to sell some spray paint on the side. L.A. is really over. It's such a make-believe land. And the best thing about Portland, at least it isn't Cleveland. That's my kind of town, by Tarzana Joe.
Wow, a Portlandia Joe. And
can you know what the Portland penny is, by the way?
I do not.
Well, apparently two people claimed the land called the Clearing that is now Portland, and they tossed a coin to decide what to call it, New Boston or Portland. And that penny is in the Portland Museum. That's just my 2 cents I threw in there.
Oh, nice. And I did like the gratuitous Cleveland kidney punch. I'm sure Hugh Hewitt will appreciate that greatly. Look, if people are in need of some sort of ode or other poetic-type material, can they commission you to prepare said material?
Absolutely. And, Kurt, everyone is in need of poetry. They just don't know it yet, but everyone is in need. They can contact me at TarzanaJoe@Reagan.com or go right to TarzanaJoe.com.
Well, certainly do that before he ships out to Portlandia. Thank you, Tarzana Joe.
Thank you.
Look, what happened yesterday was huge. And it happened right here with our own Hugh Hewitt at the Nixon Library. Mike Pompeo came out and he made a change of direction in American policy that's going to echo through history. I remember when I was in UC San Diego studying political science when I wasn't drinking Coors and trying to meet young ladies. You know, in the 40s, we had Winston Churchill give the Iron Curtain speech in Fulton, Missouri. We had George Kennan and his containment long telegram and foreign policy article, and you're going, what the hell is Schlichter talking about? I'm going to not talk about that anymore. All right. But I'm trying to emphasize this is a historical moment. This is a big change. Let's look at cut number 6, Mike Pompeo, Secretary of State.
But our approach can't just be about getting tough. That's unlikely to achieve the outcome that we desire. We must also engage and empower the Chinese people, a dynamic, freedom-loving people who are completely distinct from the Chinese Communist Party. That begins with in-person diplomacy. I've met Chinese men and women of great talent and diligence wherever I go. I've met with Uyghurs and ethnic Kazakhs who have escaped Xinjiang's concentration camps. I've talked with Hong Kong's democracy leaders, from Cardinal Zen to Jimmy Lai. 2 days ago, in London, I met with Hong Kong freedom fighter Nathan Law. And last month, in my office, I heard the stories of Tiananmen Square survivors. One of them's here today. Wang Dan was a key student who has never stopped fighting for freedom for the Chinese people. Mr. Wang, will you please stand so that we may recognize you? Also with us today is the father of the Chinese democracy movement, Wei Jinsheng. He spent decades in Chinese labor camps for his advocacy. Mr. Wei, will you please stand? You know, I grew up and served my time in the Army during the Cold War. If there's one thing I learned, communists almost always lie. The biggest lie that they tell is to think that they speak for 1.4 billion people who are surveilled, oppressed, and scared to speak out. Quite the contrary. The CCP fears the Chinese people's honest opinions more than any foe. And save for losing their own grip on power, they have no reason to. Just think how much better off the world would be, not to mention the people inside of China, if we had been able to hear from the doctors in Wuhan and they'd been allowed to raise the alarm about the outbreak of a new and novel virus. For too many decades, our leaders have ignored, downplayed the words of brave Chinese citizens who warned us about the nature of the regime we're facing, and we can't ignore it any longer. They know as well as
anyone. Do you see what he's doing there, folks? That's history right there. America's policy under Donald Trump will be to separate the Communist Party of China from the Chinese people. Under Joe Biden, it'll be to kiss up to the communist masters. That's a stark choice. I'm Kurt Schlichter, guest hosting for Hugh Hewitt. Stick around. We'll be right back.